waiting for that special music then, the, you know, when it changes. Welcome to The Perfect Storm. This is Current News and Bible Prophecy. Justin, how are you going, mate?
Phil, I'm fine and I'm dandy.
How's
not,
your hand?
Not really. Not
How's
really,
your hand?
But, it's been crushed. It's okay.
It's okay. Okay, Kyle, how are you going?
Swollen up. Probably
doing
broken.
Good. Doing good, mate. It's good to be back again. We should tell everybody what happened, why we've been away.
Yes.
Or what we've been doing.
Well, I want to hear because I've been sitting here for the last 2 weeks.
By yourself.
We were listening to someone else do really. The Perfect Storm last week.
Like imposters.
Imposters.
They even put in an American.
No, it was good.
American.
I'm going to show you the photos, but I don't know.
Tony Millenkoff had my hat on.
I haven't thought about how to get the photos on. Let's tell you the story. We were 2-3 weeks ago now, we were setting up camp. So we just forgot entirely. Sorry.
What's camp, Kyle?
Camp.
Annual convention.
The annual
convention. At Jindabyne for the New South Wales Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, which we were all a part of.
And we were setting up, so we just forgot entirely.
We were busy.
Justin wants to apologize to you all.
Sorry.
And then the week after that, we did it live on stage, so we did make it to air. But if you're searching for us on YouTube, it's not in the regular section. It's in the live tab. Sorry about that. Then the week after that, I don't know what you guys were doing, but I was still working in North New South Wales. And
we were cleaning up your mess as well.
We pretended to be cleaning. And then, we got to have Danny finally on The Perfect Storm.
Danny.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes.
Danny knows how I feel.
Yeah, Danny, it was
Danny's
a pleasure.
Danny's a goat milk expert. That dude is an expert on goat milk.
Why goat milk?
He grew up on goat milk.
Huh. Did he really?
I know a lot about Danny Millenkoff.
That's why he's so tall.
My wife is
he's one of my favourite people. I love Danny.
My wife's best mates with his sister.
Lydia. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful to have Danny and, of course, Eric Walsh, one of my favourite preachers for a long, long time. If you are looking for a good sermon to get you through a hard time, go to Audioverse, find the app or the website Audioverse and look for Elijah, Where Is Your Fire? And there should be like a two-part series from Eric Walsh. And so I got to thank him in person for those sermons.
Yeah, Eric's good.
Yeah, his testimony is powerful. If you want to look at his sermons from the North New South Wales Big Camp, go to their YouTube page. And Wednesday night, he shared his testimony.
Good preaching.
I've heard of North New South Wales.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good place.
Moving along.
Awkward silence. Yeah. Look, well,
I had photos and videos prepared to show the destruction of camp.
And you're not going to show.
We had a little wind. Well, I actually haven't thought about how to get them onto the recording.
So the tents that we used to have the meetings in.
Rated to 100 k's an hour.
Yep. Just
steel framed. Aluminium still exploded in the wind. It was an unbelievable thing. How someone wasn't killed is an act of God, his protection. His protection. So we're grateful and we're going to build a permanent structure there for the next year. Anyway, by the grace
of God. So that's what we've been up to. We hope you've been well. No YouTube comments because the last one didn't make it to YouTube.
Oh, there we go.
We've lost all our audience.
Yeah.
Well, let's go straight into it, boys. Iran is not only having problems with America, it's having problems within itself.
Yeah, it seems like
an internal struggle. What do we think about this?
The IRGC. The Iranian, Islamic Republican. It's
Republic.
It's going to be a good day today. I can feel it all right. It's not Iran. It's Islamic. These guys are fundamentalist believers in the prophet Muhammad and what they call a prophet. And they take it to the full extent of their worldview.
Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps is what it stands for.
I did know that. This guy they're showing on there, he had a part in killing all these American soldiers in 1983. They bombed the barracks of all these Marines. And the Americans will know that. And I would not have give him a life insurance policy, this guy. He's come out and is now there seems to be this internal conflict where the political leader, who's also the religious leader, will make a statement and say, we're going to do this. And then the Islamic revolutionary. Mm. Is that right?
Guard Corps. Yeah.
Guard Corps. Come out and contradict him and do the opposite.
So Trump needs to get them both in a room, or is he negotiating with the wrong person?
Before he drops a bomb on him is what he's going to do. Because, okay, but that's a good idea. Both in a room, and then Trump will go, so, yeah.
Well, they've done that multiple times.
Already. Haven't they?
It hasn't worked. Can you explain to me, how does this all work? If like these different power structures are different in different countries, and this one's just so far removed, how do you have the IRGC and the government, and what would that look like in Australia? Just give us like a comparison.
It's because you've taken out all the upper echelons of leadership.
Sort of like.
So what? The most in that sort of primitive setting, the most powerful wins. And guess who the most powerful guy is? The general of the army.
So it's just their army.
He's a general in their army.
Is that their only army?
No, but they can mobilize millions of people. But
because
this Islamic Revolutionary Guard is their hardcore military structure.
Mm.
And they are hardcore guys. They're well trained. They're proper military.
But they're doing their own thing.
They've had all their weapons, everything wiped out. It's like America's been brutal on these.
It's like an internal paramilitary that is religiously aligned with Islam.
Correct.
Okay.
So do you think you can do a negotiation and let's do a deal? You get this, I get that. Yeah, okay, let's work that out. These guys, this is what the American leadership doesn't understand. That this is not like a normal negotiation on a real estate deal or something. These guys will die and they'll take their whole country with them before they do such a thing, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They are full tilt. They're not pretending. Mm. They believe what they believe. I don't agree with what they believe, but hey, it's their right to believe it. And they're going to go down in a smoldering heap, I would say, in the next 24 hours.
Well, it's becoming a religious belief, which is a powerful belief. Like a lot
Very
of people.
Powerful.
Believe in what they, you know, their worldview or what they stand for, what they live for.
I'll burn a stake over some stuff I believe.
Yeah.
The core of it. And you think you can negotiate and just, if you are a real hypocrite, you could get paid off and compromise your worldview. I don't think these guys, there's probably some of them like that, but I'm not seeing an easy way out of this.
Yeah.
And we're recording this Wednesday afternoon, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
That's Australian time. American time, which is our Thursday, sometime tonight. The deadline will end on this 2-week ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trump is going to blow up the power grid and the bridges before they can get people out, all the innocent women they had in front of all those structures. Mm. He's not going to give them a heads up. That's my take.
And
we'll know in a day's time if I'm right.
What's your clue on that? Well,
I don't have a clue other than what I see in Trump. And I think he's in big political trouble because of this war. His frustration levels must be really, really high.
We've noticed J.D. Vance is not going anymore.
He was supposed to be in Pakistan to do this negotiation. He didn't go today when he was due to, which means they know this isn't working. They're going to get the planes back in the air, and they're going to be dropping some heat down there on those poor people in Iran.
Mm. Kyle, what do you reckon?
I don't know. 1 minute's open, next minute's shut. 1 minute's open, next minute's shut.
It's 100% that, isn't it?
No, I got no idea.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, on the Strait of Hormuz.
Yes.
They've got.
That's the right pronunciation.
That's correct. Right. That's how you say it. They've got. America's stopping any ships coming in and stopping any Iranian ships leave. The Iranians are stopping any Allied alliance ships leaving. So it's a Mexican standoff, and they have just captured a ship. The Americans boarding all these ships with the Marines that has Chinese weapons on it and all this Chinese material to make weapons.
So this is the China arms. Is this what's going on here, Kyle?
I don't know. This is just the story.
Are they sending these? Where are they sending these weapons?
Well, this article is saying that China has repeatedly assured the United States that it is not supplying weapons to Iran, but apparently this boat is full of chemical components to be able to make ballistic missiles.
There you go.
From China. And it, like I've said before, this is a bit of a proxy war.
Mm.
America's getting control of one of China's big oil sources, which will have control of China, and China doesn't like that. So they put a shell through the engine room on a ship just 24 hours ago because they wouldn't stop. They're not playing. They've shown already America has a lot of military might. They are the last superpower in the world, according to my Bible.
Yep.
And I'm not expecting them to lose this.
Yeah, so... Well, let's go to Great Britain. You want to go to Great Britain there, Kyle?
Mm.
Keir Starmer has appointed someone as the ambassador. What's he done?
This is saying
and
Starmer...
This has just come out now?
Starmer was so determined to appoint Matthew Doyle, another friend of potentially Jeffrey Epstein, I believe they're talking about here.
Yes.
To a top ambassadorial role. He was so keen that he ordered it to be kept secret from the foreign secretary.
Oh, so he did it a while ago.
He knew that this guy has had a really bad background. And the worst crime in our society there is crimes against children.
Mm.
This guy has been very closely associated with the people doing that. So he appoints him anyway. And now it's coming back to haunt the British Prime Minister.
Mm.
And I would not be surprised if he loses his job. He'll be amazing if he can survive this. Even if you watch their House of Commons, they've got the Prime Minister gets up and makes a speech. Usually the opposition, like our Westminster system we have in Australia, they'll attack the Prime Minister. He's actually got his own backbenchers attacking the Prime Minister.
That's how
much trouble he's in.
Oh, good.
He's in trouble. Because what he did is disgusting because he knew it and he covered it up. He covered it up.
Kyle, any more to say on that?
I haven't been. I'm shocked.
You're the UK expert. Come on.
I barely know the name of the Prime Minister these days.
Pretty bad.
So
he did ask a Keir Starmer a lot of people.
Steve and Danny would know that.
Changes all the time, I know.
I'm shocked he's in the role still. Like, the Brits are a fighting bunch, and they have been...
They were.
Were a fighting bunch.
They've given their country away.
It's amazing to see what's happened over there.
I'm sad for England.
How many people are in jail because of a Facebook post? Like, that is just disgusting, and it's starting to happen here.
It's disgusting. And they're jailing people over speech. It's disgusting, and you lose that liberty, you lose all liberty. So I don't know what's going to happen to England. I know we live at the end of time, and the chaos is coming in on every side.
You remember we were talking to Johannes? We had him on the show.
German
he listened
Johannes.
To a podcast like ours every week.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden one week there was one of the guys missing, and they weren't allowed to talk about why.
Yeah.
He was just put in jail for his comments on a podcast like this.
It's crazy.
In Germany. It's just so wild.
Great. I'll visit you, Phil.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Jail, mate. Appreciate it.
It'll be the last one they lock up.
I'll be in the cell beside you.
They'll listen to the podcast and they'll go, nah, he doesn't know.
How can we put him in jail? He doesn't even know the England Prime Minister.
He's not fit to stand trial.
That's what Phil's angling at.
I'm covered in Christ's righteousness.
Protection.
Amen, brother. Amen.
All right. Since Kyle's giving me a hard time, we're going to go to Kyle's mate.
He did it to Danny last
week. Kyle's mate's walked into the Senate. He's walked into the Senate and started shooting his mouth.
Now, hang on. Big props. When you say it's Kyle's mate, you're not exaggerating.
No, I'm not, mate. This is like, Kyle's actual mate.
They're like best buddies, weren't they? Roommates at college or something?
We didn't have a room.
They fought over the same...
Don't.
I doubt Conrad will ever have time to listen to our podcast, but we did go to college together at one stage.
Tell us about Conrad then. You're the Conrad expert.
No, yes,
you know this guy. You know this guy.
What's happened, Kyle?
I'm not at all the expert, but he did start a podcast called Punters Politics where he started talking about this topic specifically, basically about the gas tax that we're missing out on now.
So I believe this Norway, guy grew up as an Adventist.
I believe so, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And he started talking about the fact that we were getting ripped off on our gas tax, and Norway had a multi-billion-dollar, you know, sovereign wealth fund, and we don't. We don't have anything. We have a lot of debt. And so he started talking about this through the podcast. The podcast became so popular, he eventually quit his job and just does that full-time now. They have crowdfunded enough money to pay a lobbyist to go and lobby at Parliament on behalf of
the
punters.
They're doing what the other guy
they're
does.
Doing, yeah, they're using the politicians' tricks against them. So props to you, Conrad, for your good work there. And now he's sitting in, did you say it was the Senate?
I believe it's the federal Senate, yeah.
Yeah, one of the Parliament places where decisions are made. And he blasts them and says, this doesn't pass the pub test. He says,
well, Japan.
He said, they're about to get up here and tell us we can't afford anything. We can afford it. We're just giving it away. And yeah, Japan, as your point, Japan makes more tax on Australian gas than Australians make on Australian gas.
It's disgraceful, mate. It's really disgraceful. So yeah. We're not into tax policy so much here, but this is big because the level of angst in society that we are. I just watched a podcast with the former treasurer under John Howard, Peter Costello, and they were celebrating that 20 years ago, I think it was the anniversary, in 2006, Australia was, Kyle, debt-free. The government had no debt. We were the envy of the world, only country like it on earth.
Yeah. John then, Howard.
An election changes everything,
best 07. Prime Minister ever, John Howard.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to argue. Here we are. We're about to hit $1 trillion. And we can't even tax our own natural gas so that can bring some revenue back into the country.
If I would love to know an answer to this, and if Conrad ever does get around to listening to this or anyone shows him this, why are we fighting for a 25% tax? Like, yeah, that's a good start, but isn't Norway taxing theirs like 70-something percent or 80%? Why are we wimping out with a 25% tax? If we're going to force them to do something, let's do something serious, not a quarter. That just sounds a bit weak to me. It's better than nothing. I'm not sad
about it. I think they get
about
$18 billion a year by doing that.
I just wonder why we can't go for more. So
well,
that's actually
let's
a
get
question.
Something, mate.
Maybe
get
in the YouTube comments you can help us to understand somebody. Yeah. Why would we only be fighting for 25%?
Mm. It's pretty amazing that a podcaster, this shows how new media is working.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A podcaster can get to address the Senate.
Yes.
Yep. That's unreal when you think about it. And they brought out as one of their witnesses the guy that wanted to tax all the mining companies back in the 2000s. I've forgotten his name. He did the whole review on our tax system. And they asked him, what should we do? He just said, stop talking about it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You should be imposing a tax on all these different things that are coming through mining.
Mm. Well, this is the new power, isn't it? Because well, on another subject, I was watching Gordon Ramsay's show. Like, there's a documentary on Gordon Ramsay, and he comes in and he opens this new restaurant up at Bishopsgate. It's the tallest restaurant in the world in London.
Okay.
And he's opening this restaurant, and everyone's going, are you going to invite all the critics to the first thing? He goes, no, nah, I'm inviting all the podcasters. You know, all the people that
influencers.
All the influencers that are going around. Yeah. Da, 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 they're the ones.
How the media's changed.
And he took them all up and bang, he was the restaurant. Yeah, obviously.
I've got to give a shout out to my mum because my mum's living at my place at the moment. My cholesterol's gone through the roof and it's awesome. Mum can really cook.
That custard caramel that I tried the other day was just next level. I think Gordon Ramsay needs to put it on his restaurant menu in Bishopsgate.
Mate, but here's the thing. My mum likes to watch the news.
Gordon, if you're listening, go down to Batlow, get that recipe. You need it.
My mum likes to watch the news.
Caramel custard.
I cannot bear to sit through an hour of the news in the conventional way. It's such...
Oh, but isn't that the source of all truth when you watch the news?
It's bad news.
So loaded with propaganda.
What? And, propaganda?
And they'll say, oh, the internet's all conspiracy theory. And yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy theory and we might know a bit about that. But hey, give me that where I can just change. No, that sounds stupid. Move it over. Just to sit there for an hour while they drain your intelligence, I can't bear it. I can't bear
it. Yeah, but you know what? The good part of the story, do you know what the good news is?
Mm.
Jesus is coming back. But,
amen.
But there's a second tier to the good news.
Mm. Mm.
Caramel custard.
Mum would say it's butterscotch custard.
Justin's mum does a caramel custard like no one else.
And it's nuts.
Can we give that recipe out instead of a book?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Let's see if we get any requests for it.
Caramel custard.
Yeah.
Request it. People because I want the recipe.
Conan be on here as well.
Mm. I must bring Conan in for our show, eh?
Mm. You put it on a pikelet?
Not we Conan.
Put pikelet and cream, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway. Let's get back to the big fan.
Look, we're moving on. We are moving on. Ben Roberts.
We haven't about this. Ben Roberts Smith. Steered clear of it a few weeks ago, but
I'm very opinionated on this. This is the first time I'm opinionated on this show.
Yeah, it's the first time you've had an opinion.
I do not.
So, what do you think?
I do not like what they're doing to a guy that won the Victoria Cross. Now, let me just put a caveat in. Everyone must be held accountable for their actions. If you've done bad things, we should be held accountable. And I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But the way they're persecuting this man makes me so uncomfortable. It came out that Channel 9 paid $900,000 to one witness in this defamation case. It's only ever been a defamation case. This is back from – how long ago was it, Kyle, that all these events supposedly took place?
I think it would have been in the 2010s. Let's have a look at how he won the VC, hey?
The crazy thing in for me, and as you're looking that up, the crazy thing for me is they've celebrated him by giving him the VC, which is – the highest honor.
Level there is in Australian military and British military.
They've trained him. Cross. He's a trained killer, is what they've trained him to be for Australia.
Big time.
So he led a charge. Robert Smith led a patrol to a position under heavy fire during an attack on an enemy stronghold in Tizak. He exposed himself to enemy fire. While his patrol was pinned down by machine gun fire, he deliberately drew fire away from his teammates to enable them to fight back. A move described as total disregard for his own safety. He then stormed two enemy machine gun positions at close range, approximately 20 meters, and killed the machine gun teams, all of them. And then his actions allowed his patrol to gain the initiative and break into the enemy defense, resulting in a victory against numerically superior force.
He's a hero. Now, the claim is that he's murdered some people, which Bible's against murder. So we don't support murder in any shape or form, and there will be a trial.
But what's the –
this another, seems to smell
this
to
is
me,
the
mate.
Confusion another for me. Trial. You just look at the facts. This is a confusion for me. He gets a VC for going and storming and killing.
Taliban, yeah.
Right? But then he gets put on trial for murder?
And the problem when they're in these situations that his government put him in as a SAS, the SAS are the best on earth, in my opinion. They're up with Delta Force with the US. SAS are. They are the guys. They are very well trained and they're very silent the way they work. Yeah. They work differently to other special operators. But anyway, he's been trained to do all this. They put him in urban areas. It's in villages where the Taliban, they just dress up like normal Joe. There's no uniforms.
Yeah. And there's no
It's not like that teams. Uniform, I'm uniform, so we know. So there's a civilian and there's a Taliban and you can't tell them apart.
And one day from another they can change and go back to farming.
And they do.
If you're the enemy, you're doing that. Why wouldn't you do that?
Of course they are. And the rules of engagement that our country put on our guys, it got worse and worse and worse to make their job near impossible. Near impossible, and they're persecuting him. 318 million now they're up to persecuting this one soldier. I think he's utterly disgusting.
And they don't have the names of all five of the apparent victims.
They don't have the bodies. They don't have anything you'd have in a normal trial. I think this is utterly disgusting. I'm trying to
don't know what they're trying to achieve.
Who's persecuting him? The same government that gave him the VC?
from where I sit, it looks like reporters are.
Yeah, well.
That this has been drummed up by reporters, people saying, hey, I don't know what happened, and so I have to qualify everything I say, but I'm not comfortable with this.
Yeah, there was was it Channel 9 had paid an entire family of non-Australians to have free accommodation and free this and free that for a couple of years while they interviewed them and tried to get the facts.
And they didn't know his name. They said the big guy, and he's a big man. He's near 7 foot tall. They said the big man. That's all they could say in it. So I've looked into this a bit, and I'm just leave it alone. There's stuff that God alone will have to work out in the judgment, and we will all answer for that. But this, you know what it is this coming Saturday? Anzac Day, 25th. It is in Australian culture the most spiritual and sacred day on our calendar, more than Christmas, mate.
And why do you say that?
Well, I go to the dawn service, mate, and they're playing hymns. Average Aussies. They're reading and saying prayers. Where else in our society do they do it? You know what they've done to Easter? It's about a bunny and chocolate now. It's not about the resurrection of Jesus, his death and resurrection. Christmas is about a fat guy in a red suit. And he's only got a red and white suit because the Coca-Cola took it. It used to have brown and green suit, but it's all commercialized. Anzac Day is not commercialized. It is a point in time where we stop and say the greatest sacrifice that you can ever do is lay down your life for your fellow man, which is a biblical concept. It's what Jesus did for us. And I don't like us ever mucking around with that and messing with these guys that made the ultimate sacrifice when they were over there doing what they did. And I'm just not comfortable with this whole thing.
War's a terrible thing. And
I support our returned servicemen. I support all the people in uniform because we have freedoms and liberty because of their willingness to put their life on the line. And we should – all my kids, I've dragged them along to Anzac Day when they're little, and they're right into it to this day because they must know that they have what they have because someone else was willing to make a sacrifice.
It's true.
I'll stop ranting.
Let's go to the good news. Fuel prices seem to have come down a little bit.
Is that good news? It's like I said to Kyle today because I borrowed Kyle's van. He's got a good van.
It's a great van. Everyone wants one.
I'm looking for one. Kyle's van. It was $2.82. for diesel a litre. And I said to Kyle, I was on the phone, I said, mate, that's cheap. I can't believe I said that's cheap.
I know.
It was $1.69 the other day. And then we're going to $3.30. Now that it's come back a little bit, we think, wow.
That's cheap.
That's how they do it at Coles. Prices are down after they jack them up.
Because we put it up so high. Now we put it halfway back. It's really cheap.
That's right. Yeah. Practically making money. An article here is just talking about the fact that Australian Airlines will have to cancel hundreds of domestic and international flights imminently because global markets for jet fuel have been more severely disrupted than gasoline or diesel by the war. Jet fuel prices have doubled since January and Australia imports most of its jet fuel, kerosene. Lufthansa just cancelled 20,000 flights. Air New Zealand did the same. Air New Zealand doesn't have 20,000 flights, so we need to fact check that. Australian Airlines won't be far behind.
We love New Zealand.
Global transportation is shutting down. This seems a little bit extreme to me, but it's just one opinion.
We're going to see, aren't we?
Watch this space.
The fuel crisis is still a fuel crisis. And this could change again overnight. The price of oil is $92 a barrel. While over it's under 100, I think we're very lucky at the moment. But realistically, I think it's been tampered with to get it to that. Let's see what happens.
Well, Kyle, I'm going to ask you to say a prayer today.
Do you want to offer a book?
Yes. We nearly got through the episode.
Got such a good book today, too.
We're offering a book.
Phil's trying to avoid it. He's trying to save money. You don't have to.
It's a book by Mark Finley this week, and it's about Daniel and Revelation. We have some go-to authors that we know you at home You're not going to read this and think, what is he talking about? You're going to read this and go, wow, I understand now.
Yep.
We believe that you need to understand what the Bible said about the future because the Bible has never got it wrong.
Mm.
It's not going to get it wrong. And you can have an insight into what's going to happen in just over the hill by this book. And the key word is understanding. What's the phone number, Phil?
The phone number is 0482-082-876. So if you text the word understanding.
Understanding Daniel and Revelation is what the understanding is.
Now, I believe there's only 16 of these books in the country, so I have put a limit on it. And we chose a really long word. Just so, you know, less people would get that spelled.
Understanding Daniel and Revelation or just understanding?
Just understanding.
Understanding. Okay. Understanding. Type understanding to 0482-082-876 and you will receive Understanding Daniel Revelation, which are the two books in the Bible which talk about the future.
Apocalypso, revealing the future. Apocalypse.
Well, that's a book. Giveaway, don't hesitate to type the word understanding.
Mm.
I'm going to say it again. 0482-082-876 and Kyle is going to pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for another week. Thank you for a chance to join here together again and take a quick look around the world and recognize that there is no hope other than that which is found in you. We pray that ourselves and our listeners could understand your word better so that we can not be afraid of what's coming. So that our hope and our salvation can be found in you and in you alone. So we ask you to bless our listeners as they move on to more savory programming. Pray that they would keep you in their hearts and that they would stay safe on the roads. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Justin. And thank you to all our listeners. Amen. Until next time.
See you guys.
Perfect Storm.